Hi there. Sorry to interrupt. A quick question. What do you get when you combine ground engineering and satellite remote sensing expertise? The answer is Geofem, where satellite data means your technical insight. Why not ask us a question at geofem.com?
Well, here we are. It's the second recording of 2024 of the Breaking Ground podcast. It's been a little bit of a gap. It's been such a busy start to the year. I think there's been so many projects that people are looking to get going, changes in planning regulation. So it's meant that we've not been able to get together with guests as much as we like, but there's lots lined up. Kieran, how's the start of the year been for you?
Frenetic, absolutely frenetic. So it was sort of quiet sort of first week of January, I think, and then it just felt like a rocket took off. So in my world of Federation of Piling Specialists, EFFC, which is the European Federation of Foundation Contractors, and AGS as well, you know, all of these trade associations in the sector, really, really busy, really, really active, doing lots of great stuff. So,
and the feedback from sort of trade members, are they talking bullishly about the year ahead, or is that their nerves in relation to obviously HS2 slowing down? What's the outlook like? What's your sense?
They're quite nervous, I think, if I'm honest, sort of looking ahead. People are quite sort of worried about pipeline, I guess. We will have a general election this year. My prediction is October.
Oh, I thought you were going to say who's going to win.
Well, polls are interesting on that. But there's a lot of work. Just got off a Build UK call, actually. There's quite a lot of work going on to try and establish a pipeline for construction that everybody can look at and sort of plan against, which would be really helpful. But yeah, no, I think it's a bit of a mixed outcome, and elections are always difficult, because you find that projects get held up as people wait for the result and the sort of implications for finance and things. So yeah, it's a mixed picture.
Yeah, I think in the build up generally you see reduction in taxes, incentives, launch of projects to sort of try and have a feel good factor around the economy and encourage voters to go with the incumbent party. Mm. There's maybe been a little bit of that. I know there's been schemes that have been launched that as a result of HS2 not happening, alternative infrastructure schemes. But yeah, I'd say inquiry levels haven't been particularly buoyant for us, so there is some nervousness, but on the other hand, there's still plenty of opportunities in the longer term with the size of the structures that are being created and the challenging ground conditions we're working in. So there's still plenty of reasons to be optimistic. Anyway, it's good to have you back. I was hopeful that you would rejoin after the first episode that we had you on for, the Careers and Social Mobility podcast, which done really well actually in terms of numbers, and was a really fun recording. And thank you to you for your suggestion for this week's guest. I'm going to give her the big build-up now. she goes under the moniker of the Scottish geologist. She's a YouTuber, TikToker, all-round influencing sensation. Louisa Hendry, welcome to the Breaking Ground podcast. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, really good, and really excited to hear more about all the great work that you've been doing. I suppose the obvious point to start is asking how you got involved in geology and what attracted you to that line of work.
So when I was younger, like as in I'm talking when I was 5 years old, I used to go down the beach and collect rocks, as every little girl and little boy would do. I didn't know that you could go actually study a degree in geology till I was in my fifth year at school, and I was at a university open day, and I seen that there was a stall set up that had pictures of volcanoes in the background and rocks on the table, and I thought, oh, you can actually study this. And they were like, yeah, come along. And I was like, right, okay. originally I wanted to be a fashion designer, nothing to do with geology, okay. But I was really, really good at geography in school. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to go into this university open day and see what there is. And I seen the stall that was geology. And I thought, oh, that's really interesting. I've always wanted to learn about how the earth forms and what different rock types are and how crystals form. So I went down that route and yeah, here I am now today.
Yeah, it's, geology and fashion aren't synonymous with each other, are they, traditionally?
No.
More known for comfy jumpers, but that said, I think we all look rather stylish here today, so
yeah.
I think they can coexist. Well, you're rather fortunate to live in an amazing part of the world for geology, of course. Tell us a little bit more about kind of where you studied and then your route to employment.
Yeah, so I studied at the University of Glasgow and got a Bachelor of Science degree in Earth Science, which is geology. It was called Earth Science back then. I think the degree's now been changed to geology, but it's the same thing, same thing. You learn about rocks and that, you know. So I did that and I didn't really know what career route I was going to take till I was in my fourth year. And I did a course that was called Engineering Earth Science. And that kind of opened my eyes up to this whole side of engineering geology. And I was like, okay, right. It was either that or petroleum geology. But back then in 2015, when I graduated, the petroleum industry was going a little bit downhill. And there is a lot of controversy to do with that side of things as well. So I thought engineering it is. And I ended up in this career. So I worked for a smaller contractor to begin with and then moved on to work for a bigger contractor. And I've kind of worked my way up quite quickly, like, which has been really good. I really enjoy my job. I'm really passionate about it. And I'm very lucky as well. The geology of Scotland's amazing, but I've not just worked in Scotland. I've worked down in England as well. But we can go into that in more detail later on if you want.
So much to talk about. Some wonderful parts of England as well, but maybe not quite as dramatic as the Scottish coast.
Can I leap in there, Lewis? Just because you've hit upon immediately something that I was kind of interested in, because in the conversations that Steve and I have had within the Ground Forum, where we've been sort of talking with the world of academia about the fact that people are more, students going into geology and geography and those sorts of areas are dropping off quite a lot and are more interested in dinosaur bones than they are in geology. And the perception among the academic community, I think it's fair to say, is that that young people are very turned off by associations with oil and gas. And that a career in this area is related to oil and gas. So it's interesting that you've sort of, you know, I think had a little bit of the same. Was that sort of very much the feeling for you that it, you know, kind of almost like as an ethical, moral kind of consideration, you didn't want to get involved in that?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like nowadays that people look at geologists and think that we're the bad guys because we pulled oil at the ground, or, you know, we weren't the ones that actually physically done it, but, you know, there's a lot of controversy to do with these subjects as well, the mining industry too. I think people nowadays kind of look at geology, or they've just forgotten about geology because it is a subject that's just been pushed back in the past and forgotten about. But there is so much more to geology that people don't realise that we need geologists, like. And it is hard to kind of have that conversation sometimes because there is controversy, like around oil and gas and the mining, lithium, like mining all of these components. But we wouldn't be able to live the way that we live nowadays without geologists. And it's not just that either. Like, you need geologists for, like, you know, engineering geology so that you know how to, like, design, build roads, railways, bridges, like foundations, everything like that's involved in piling everything. You know what I mean? Like, everything that's involved in that aspect of engineering geology, people just forget about it or they're not familiar with it. And that's why I started doing what I do as well. The videos online, like the whole social media side of things, I just felt like there wasn't enough out there. Even many documentaries about basic geology, there's not enough out there that speaks about geology and geotech and how rocks form, and like it's so such an interesting subject and it's just been forgotten about. So, you know, that's why I started doing it.
Yeah, in terms of renewables,
that as well, yeah,
offshore must be wind must be a big employer in Scotland, so I suppose people are making a positive career choice to go into geology.
Yeah.
And actually able to help reduce carbon through that work. Tell us a little bit more about, before we go into the post, which I'm really looking forward to, about your current role then. I'll just give people a taste of what you do on an average week. I know there's probably no such thing, but you know, maybe a couple of examples.
Yeah, no, definitely changes every week in my job. And I'm now a senior engineer geologist. I work for Stodey Contracting, who are a big civil engineering contractor, and we have our own geotech team in-house. So my job involves like a variety of different things, mainly project management from afar, where we have other engineers based on site, and I kind of overlook these projects from the office. Like sometimes I get to go out on site. I do miss being out on site, like, because as a junior, you were out on site all the time. But like, it's just a mixture of everything, like whether that's like taking the projects from the beginning, like at tender stage, looking at all the documentation, specifications, all the way through to the very end where you're producing the factual report and checking the factual report, checking engineers' logs, making sure all the information is correct. So primarily deal with ground investigations across like Scotland and North England as well. So geology kind of varies depending on where you are. And my favourite thing, of course, to do is actually look at the rocks. Like that's, I'll always be a geologist, in my heart. Like I like to, even if I was on a job down south, a few years ago I worked on HS2 when I was at Soil Engineering, and I was a technical lead on that project. So I would walk into the logging shed and it was all Mercia mudstone. And the only interesting thing that I would find out about the Mercia mudstone was when they had the gypsum veins in it. And I'd be like, oh, is this the Sidmouth formation? Like, and we'd go in and like, there'd be all these gypsum veins, like, or the other formations that were really, there was like a blue anchor formation and the mudstone was blue. And I was like, I've never seen a blue mudstone before. Oh my goodness, this is amazing. Like, so it was interesting to work on an English job, like for a year and a half, 2 years, compared to like I was so used to the geology of the Highlands as a junior, because that's where I spent my junior years on Transport Scotland jobs, just like logging the core on those jobs, looking at all the beautiful metamorphic and igneous rocks that we would pull out of the ground, and being involved in that like was amazing. But I mean, England's geology as well can be interesting.
Or you look at the Jurassic Coast, there's some stunning, or even the cliffs of Dover, you know.
I'd love to go down there. I'd have a field day. There's not many Jurassic rocks in Scotland. You can only find them on Skye. And then by the east coast, like up by like north of Inverness, like, and that's it. You don't get like that geology like as much up here. And then there's hardly any chalk. There's no chalk at all really in Scotland. I think there's tiny little bits, slivers of it, like on the Isle of Mull. But I'll need to get down to England eventually and start making videos about the geology
check
there.
Check out our chalk.
check out the chalk.
So I was checking out some of the videos, and actually there was one where you were really excited because you split it and there was a load of quartz inside. But you do travel with it, not just around Scotland, but you also, I think you're in Iceland for...
Oh, wow. Yeah.
The videos, that must have been stunning.
That was amazing. That was last July, and I'm mad for volcanoes. And I've never actually seen a volcanic eruption before where you see the lava spewing out the ground, and I had to go see it. So I went twice in July. The first time I went, we couldn't actually go do the hike to the volcano, so we had to get a helicopter to it, and it was amazing. It was really expensive though. And then the second time I went at the end of July, I got to actually do the hike, and oh my goodness, I must have walked like a marathon in 2 days. It was like 27 miles or so, like just like two hikes I did, and I never really like walked that far, so it was worth it, totally worth it to see this volcano.
Oh good, I'm glad it's over. I mean, are you picking holidays now and deciding what to do at the weekend on the basis of your social media posts? Is that kind of the driving factor for what you're getting up to?
Yeah, definitely. Like,
what kicked the whole thing off? I know you said you want to bring more people into the industry and excite young people. And I've, by the way, my 9 year old's now a subscriber to your channel. After we were checking it out,
I love it. So one more. It wasn't just for like the young people though. I think originally years ago I thought about it, and I kept saying to all of my friends at the time that there's not enough out there. You know how you go on social media and they're talking about all this other stuff, and it's all to do with, you know, beauty or football, or, and there is some pages on social media that speak about chemistry or physics a wee bit, but there's nothing that really speaks about geology. I want to do that. I want to be that person that starts making mini documentaries about geology. But I really struggled for the time back then, because at this point, this was during COVID and I was on HS2. So coming home, traveling from Scotland on a Monday morning, then coming home on the Friday and then having the weekend to try squeeze everything in, I couldn't really get out on adventures to make the videos until I started, like, I think it was last year, right? So yeah, last year was when I actually started doing it properly. Last April, I was on a trip with my mum in the Northwest Highlands of Scotland, and I just basically says, "Hey, I'm going to just do this. Mum, here's my phone." Like, gave her my phone, stood next to this rock outcrop, and I was like, "Hey, so the day we're going to learn about this, blah blah blah, like, and this is, these rocks are like ancient." I don't even know what I said, but I just started doing that. And there was this other video that went viral of me just running like towards these rocks, because I've got like my phone up like as a selfie, like, and I'm speaking to the camera like face on, and I'm saying, "I've just parked the camper van up there. I need to go see these rocks." And I started running towards the rocks. And then I got to the rocks and they're green schist, like a green schist of ashes, like a metamorphic, low-grade metamorphic rock that you find in the highlands in certain areas. And I just started talking about it. And people just found it funny because, you know, I'm like that train guy. You know how, like, if you've seen the train guy on social media that speaks about the trains, but I'm that guy, but with rocks. I'm just mad. I'm not afraid to be myself. Like, I don't care about what people think about me. If they think I'm weird, fair enough. Like, you know, that's their own opinion on me. But I love what I do. I'm passionate about what I do. And I just wanted to promote the subject and promote geology in general. And it just grew.
I don't know about the train guy, but what comes across to me is somebody that's really enjoying themselves. Yeah. And I think whenever you see that in somebody, regardless of what the topic is, it can become quite infectious.
And, oh yeah,
and
definitely. Then,
of course, there's lots of people that have just got a genuine sort of intrigue with regard to geology anyway, because, you know, we'll walk around and I'm like, "Oh, what's that? How's that form?"
Yeah, people like walk by buildings and they don't realise the rocks that these buildings are made up of are like millions of years. People can be down the beach with their dogs, like walking across the rocks, and they don't realise that they're standing on some of the most ancient, oldest rocks in like Europe. And I'm like, "Oh my goodness, I need to promote, I want to like get it out there." And I have people now approach me and say to me, "I never thought about rocks before until I started following you." It's weird, I can't go anywhere without someone recognising me. Like, it's mad.
Oh, wow. Well, there's...
but I don't mind. I'm just like, oh.
have you ever followed History Alice, I think she's called?
And no, but I'll have a look.
I hope I got the name right now. But she'll be walking around London and, like, take a little video of something that thousands of people would have walked past and not paid any attention to. But then... she'll talk about the history of how it was formed, you know, might get back to the war or even medieval times. And yeah, I think you're shining a light on something that many of us will see on a regular basis, but not be very informed about. So it does enrich our lives, whether we're going to have a career in geology or geotechnics or just, you know, just want to be excited by it. So, yeah, thank you for doing
that. Yeah, I mean, I just to add to that, I think one of the great joys of your videos, I found you via the Facebook algorithm, being now a firmly Gen X aged person, obviously on Facebook, and the algorithm. I'm not very active on Facebook, but I obviously gone enough into geotechnical subjects for it to say you need to be watching this person, Kieran. And the great
I'm intrigued to know what else was popping up on that.
mostly nonsense. Mostly nonsense. But the great joy of your videos is that you're out in the Scottish landscape and you just transform the understanding of it. If nobody's sort of, if you haven't watched one of your videos, this is the great, you see you going into the landscape with a massive amount of passion, just explaining how these things came to be as they are. And I think anybody can get behind that as a, you know, if you've not wondered why the hills you're walking through or the landscape you're in is how it is, then you know what you've been doing.
Yeah. Like, people just forget about rocks. Wake up, do you know what that mountain's made of? I'm gonna tell you. That's funny.
Yeah. like you say, it has exploded in a really short space of time. So hit us with some of the facts and what numbers are you pulling in now? What was the biggest amount of views or total followers?
I now have 360,000 people follow me across all platforms. I think my biggest following still lies on Instagram, which is sitting at 246 this morning. Now, it's funny because I can look at my analytics and see who specifically follows me and unfollows me, because it's so hard to keep track of. But it goes up and down every day. Like, so sometimes I'll gain 1,000 followers in a day, but I'll lose like 500. It's weird, like how it shows me. But my accounts usually reach 3 million people each month, and they're continuously growing. Like, I mean, as you say, like, even you thought, you seen me on Facebook at first, my Facebook's like got like, I think nearly it's 49,000 followers now, and then TikTok's like 30,000. So it is like, it's reaching a big amount of people. YouTube's like shorter, like a lot smaller, because I think YouTube's more aimed at like longer documentaries, which is what I want to start doing. It's just trying to find the time to do it. See, amongst having a full-time job, this is stuff that I do in my spare time, like in the evenings or at the weekends when I'm going out on adventures. It does take time to edit content and add in the subtitles so that people can understand my Scottish accent, because sometimes people are looking at me like, what did she just say? So yeah, there is, it's time consuming, but it's worth it. I know, I'm like, have you seen that? honestly, but yeah, it reaches a bigger, like a really large amount of people, and it's continuously growing. And I think maybe one day I'll maybe hit 1 million followers across all platforms, which would be amazing. But it's led me to opportunities that I never ever thought I'd get the opportunity to do. I'm now doing talks like the Geological Society. I've been invited to their conference next year to do a talk. I've been invited to other like things to do talks on geology or just about me in general. Like, there's all these podcasts, there's been radio appearances, and newspapers have wrote about me. It's a bit surreal sometimes. I'm just like, oh, is that me? I have celebrities that follow me, like Nick Frost from Shaun of the Dead, like he follows me. Like, I've lost track now. I honestly don't know who follows me anymore, because it's cool though to see that, so and so's followed you and they've got a blue tick, and you're just like, oh, I'm like, who's that?
You do tours.
Yeah, so I started offering geology tours, like, because I feel like I've had a lot of interest. Like, a lot of people have came to me and said, would you ever offer tours? And this was something as well that I thought about doing when I was like a few years ago as well. I'd love to take people out and just teach them about the different rock types that you can come across, like the different, like how the mountains form. So I've not actually done my first tour yet. It's at the end of the month, like, and it's going to be on a Saturday. So this is something as well that I'm going to do in my spare time and try fit in around like my full-time job, because obviously my job is my priority, like, because that's what, like, you know, pays me, like, at the end of the day, and that's what I'm passionate about, as well as being passionate about the geology of Scotland. I just want to show it off. So there's a lot of interest online. I've got the follow-on for it, and I thought, let's just see how it goes. So my first tour is at the end of the month. I'm hoping to do a few evening tours. I'm also like, I've been asked to be I'm now an ambassador of the Northwest Highlands Geopark. Like, I'm an ordinary member of the Glasgow Geological Society. Honestly, see the opportunities this has led me to. It's mental. And also I've pitched in front of the BBC. Like, so I might end up like on TV at one point in my life, but if not, it's not the end of the world. I've still got a career, like, you know, like, it's not as if, like, I'm aiming to be on TV and I want to be a TV presenter. If that's something that I get the opportunity of doing, then amazing. If not, then, you know, it is what it is. But I think it'd be amazing to have, like, more of this stuff on TV and introducing it to more people. Like, I think it'd be class. Like, and even going into the geotechnical side of things as well, I'd love to go out and stand next to a drilling rig and talk about, like, how, like, you know, why we do ground investigations, or talk about even, like, go out, like, next to a piling rig on site and be like, right, so the day I'm on this site and we're going to talk about that, what this thing behind me is doing, it's drilling into the ground, blah, 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 you know, like, you can go into so much detail.
Yeah, there's definitely space for that. And I think probably, I mean, you look at a series like Coast, which did touch on the geology. I think it came to an end a couple of years ago, but it certainly had a large following. It was really well produced. Mm-hmm. So you touched there on your job. It must be difficult to balance it. And is it possible to generate at the moment any money from the social media side of your work?
It is, but it's not as much as you'd think, and it's weird how it does it. It's automatic. like it does it. So on Facebook, that's where like you can earn money through like ads on your reels and stuff, but on Instagram you can't do that. But then on TikTok you can do it. So the more views that you get, the more you can earn money. But it's not as much as you would think. If you wanted to earn major money on social media, then you'd have to have like a million followers. So I've set up like for the tours and stuff, and for like the social media like as well. The money that I receive all from that like gets paid into like a separate like company, because I've created my own company, because I'm like, I can't like manage all of this. I'm gonna have to like get it paid into different accounts. I don't touch any of that money. It just gets paid into a company and it funds my adventures. So I self-fund myself. So because obviously going to places across Scotland making content is time consuming. It costs fuel to go across Scotland and like make different, you know, go to different places. So I thought, like, I'm gonna set this up so that it can, you know, I don't know, like it's still new, it's still at the beginning of it, so we'll see how it goes.
That's exciting,
but you can earn money from social media, but you have to spend like a lot of time on it, building up like your following and getting it to the point where you're eligible to make money on it. Because some people have asked me, oh, could you make a career out of that? And I'm like, I think if I was spending most of my time doing it, I probably could. But see, because I do it, my life is hectic. I was even saying that this morning to someone. I don't know how I've not had a mental breakdown yet. I think it's just because I enjoy what I do. So my life is hectic. I go do my job, like, depends on each day's different, like, but I usually start 7:30, 8:00. Depends on if I need to charge my car or not in the office and I want a spot in the chargers because they go fast. And then, like, I'll finish around 4 or 5. Like, and then in the evenings, I'm primarily either doing something like a podcast or whatever, or I'm trying to edit content. Sometimes I do take some days off it, or at the weekends, like it's not every single weekend. It's maybe once or twice a month. I'll go out somewhere and get more content. Because if you don't keep getting the content to post, then, you know, the following will just start going down and people will just get disinterested. So I have to keep it up. So I keep it going by doing that. I just self-fund myself. And
you need sponsorship.
Yeah, that's what I need next.
Visit Scotland. If they're not sponsoring you, they should be, because, you know, you're absolutely a massive ambassador for the landscape. So,
yeah, oh, definitely. Absolutely.
But before lots of our listeners quit their jobs and become influencers.
People are like, are you going to leave Stony, Louisa? I'm like, no!
what words of caution, other than like some of the financial limitations, are there? Because there is a downside to being on social
definitely,
media, which I'm sure you've experienced.
Yeah, there is, and I tend not to look into it too much, because if I did, I think my mental health would just spiral into, like, I think you have to have a certain kind of personality to do it. Because some people get carried away with the following. Some people see all these followers and then they start getting caught up on what the trolls are saying to them and what, like, people are saying to them, and then they feel like they have to do it a certain way. And, like, I mean, I don't care. Like, I mean, it's not that I don't care about my pages. Like, I was gonna swear there, but I better not. Like, I honestly don't care about what people say about me. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to swear in a podcast. I honestly see, if people, everyone's always going to be entitled to their own opinion. So if they want to say certain things on my videos, or if they want to comment me on me, or judge me, or say something that I'm saying, like, or judge me on what I'm wearing, then fair enough, that's their own opinion. I don't get caught up in it, because if I did, like, then I don't have time, to be honest, to get caught up in comments and stuff. I always try to look at messages and concentrate on trying to respond to messages that relate to something that are going to, like, you know, if it was a sponsorship or if it was a paid partnership through, like, someone, like, and Visit Scotland are on my list, by the way. Like, I contacted them recently and they've said that I need to fill out a form on their website, and I'm like, right, okay. Because it is, like, I'm basically promoting Scotland, and I've said to them, is there any areas that, you know, lack tourism that I could go to? Because geology is everywhere. Anyway, what was I saying? Yeah, so they're the trolls. Yeah, so there is trolls, there is, like, bad sides to it. People get caught up in the followers, people get obsessed with, like, going on their phone. Now, I try to take regular breaks. I only have my Instagram set up so that I can go on it an hour per day, and then it cuts out on my phone. because if I was constantly on that, you know, it would eat up all of my time. So I try to have like live a balanced lifestyle where I do, and there is other things involved in it as well, obviously, like the whole financial side of things, try to manage that and try to make sure that like everything's, you know, done correctly and I've got all the proper insurances. And it's taken a long time. It's like I was talking about offering tours last September. And it's not, it's actually taken me until now because, again, full-time job, you know, like I've not got a lot of spare time. And if I'm going out on the weekends to try and like do, like go on adventures and stuff, it's hard to fit everything in. And I want to like make sure that I'm okay too. So I try to live a balanced lifestyle where I'm still doing things that I enjoy doing, like going to the gym and like taking the dogs out a walk. And then I'll go back home, maybe spend a few hours on the laptop or maybe edit some content, post content every 2 days or so. I don't really structure it in a way where I'm posting every day or all the time. And I do forget, like sometimes I get caught up in other things and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I was listening to a different podcast and they were talking about trolls and negative comments. And there's so many people that put positive comments, and the tendency is that you're drawn to the negative,
yeah.
And then you spend your time and your energy either responding or thinking about the negative. And actually, you know, people have gone out their way to put a positive comment.
Yeah.
let's focus on that. And when it comes to engagement, engage with those people because let's face it, if there's trolls on there, then they should just move on and not come back to your page again if they're not interested.
Yeah, I don't even know why they follow me, honestly. If they're going to say nasty things, I think it's a jealousy thing, though. They just see how well I'm doing and they're just like, I don't like that. And then they just, you know, people are quite, not all people, but some people are quite spiteful that way. And I'm just like, oh, who cares? But I see my followers arguing with my followers, so... If I go on sometimes to view the comments, which is very rarely, like you'll see one bad comment and then you'll see 10 replies to it from all of my other followers that have been putting good comments on saying, shut up, Thomas, or shut up, like whoever it is. That was just a random name. Like it's not actually someone that's commented negatively on my page. But you know what I mean? They're arguing on my behalf, being like, this girl's amazing. What are you talking about? Like, you know, like it, I just like kind of let them do it. But I have filters set up and stuff so that on Instagram, if someone was to try comment and say some really nasty words about me, it can stop it from being posted, but it doesn't always catch everything. Like, but it's, you're always going to have people like that. You're always going to have people that don't like you and people that do like you. And it's just the way that social media works, unfortunately. But it's just having the right mindset, I think.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I spent some time thinking about this during the pandemic when everybody was, you know, only had social media and an hour's walk a day, didn't they? Just sort of thinking about what sort of motivates somebody to behave like that. And at the end of the day, it's not about you, it's about them, and it's them acting out, I think. It was my conclusion, you know, that they're unhappy about something in their own circumstance and they're protesting about it in completely the worst possible way. But actually what I think when they're criticizing you, what they're actually doing is criticizing the things about themselves that they're not happy with. That's how I would tend to look at it.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, definitely. Like, I think that just goes through some people's heads, like their minds and they're just not happy with. Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who, you know, who I think are on the long road to recovery from the pandemic from a mental health point of view. I think that was, you know, it's not been properly talked about, I think, in a national conversation, the impact of all of that. And I think you probably have seen a lot of toxicity in social media circles. So I think one of the joys of your videos is that you're authentically you just bringing passion to something, you know, that anybody can get behind. So, you know, so it's a ray of sunshine, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Well, let's give the listeners a taste of those rays of sunshine by maybe exploring part of Scotland and its geology. So I'm going to let you lead this, Louise, and we'll chip in with a few questions where we can come up with something intelligent to say. but maybe if you take us around the country and sort of describe some of the rocks and how they got there and the history.
I'll try and make this quick as I can, but it always ends up going into this spiel because I get so carried away. But yeah, Scotland's geology is magical. Honestly, people from all over the world come to Scotland to study it because you can find in the remnants, like the remnants of like an old mountain chain in Scotland that make up the highlands of the geology of the highlands. So it's mental. And you can also find some of the oldest rocks in Europe, like in the Northwest Highlands of Scotland, which are known as your Lassie Gneiss Complex. So they're a very high-grade metamorphic rock that used to be granites and granodiorites that sat in the ground, like that formed like up to 3 billion years ago. So they represent like a really piece of ancient crust, like, and it's actually found in Scotland, like, which is known as a craton in geology. So that being found in Scotland, and you can go see these rocks and they're so pretty and beautiful to look at. And you're like, wow, like these are the pinkest rocks I've ever seen because they're banded pink, white, grey, and they're separated into their different mineral types. And honestly, they're so pretty to look at. And I love that about the Northwest Highlands. But the central kind of like highlands of Scotland, that's made up of your metamorphic rocks that formed like deep within the crust, like when you had the Caledonian orogeny happen, like which was back 450 million years ago. You had the collision of Avalonia, which is where England sat, and Laurentia, which is where Scotland was. So these two ancient continents collided with each other, caused all this crustal thickening. And you can see that, like remnants of that, and the mineralogy and the rocks and the details in the rocks and the foliations in the rocks. And it's just amazing. Scotland's mental, like honestly mental. And even you can look at anywhere you go, there's so much to talk about. Even where I am in around Glasgow, you've got your Carboniferous rocks that make up your coal measures. And you can find these coal measures as well down, like, you know, in places like Manchester, like similar age, like Carboniferous period, like also like Pennine coal measures, like down in Cumbria. And I think there's some as well in Newcastle, but I might be wrong. I've only ever worked in those places before. But yeah, that represents a time like where Scotland was situated and England was situated at the equator. So you've got these rocks that were deposited, like sand silts and muds, like, you know, and coals, like deposited like in like kind of swampy environments, and then rivers like depositing all the sands. And then like it just, it's mental because you can look at the rocks and like see that there was like, you tell this history, tell this story. Like, and it just represents a time where Scotland was at the equator. It had a different environment than today. And you can find all of these different coal seams, but then some of them have been worked as well, which is, yeah, frustrating to build on. But it's just, honestly, there's so much you can talk about the geology of Scotland. Like, it's, well, I'd have to, like, the... yeah, spend a good hour talking about it.
Yeah, well, just I'm thinking about the volcanic rocks.
Oh yeah, that is the recent stuff. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so Arthur's Seat.
Oh my goodness!
Is mm-hmm. which is the big hill? Is it? We mm-hmm. call it a mountain
in Edinburgh.
In Edinburgh, yeah, mm-hmm. next to the Parliament. That's an extinct volcano. How common are volcanoes in Scotland?
Oh, there's loads of them, and they were all kind of intruded into the crust and like happening at different periods of time. So the one, as you say, Arthur's Seat, that was during the Carboniferous period when you did have all the sand, silts, muds and like the coal formations form. Like that popped up like during that Carboniferous period because there was a bit of a rifting setting at the time going on. So that fed a volcano back in the day. And then obviously over geological time, especially over the last 2 million years, that the glacial and interglacial cycles that we've went through, like in Scotland, like the retreat like of glaciers and then coming back down like the hills and stuff, like that's eroded away like the softer material in around Arthur's Seat, and that's why it pokes at the ground. Now there's many different places across Scotland, especially in the west coast of Scotland. You've got all the volcanism that happened 65 million years ago when you had the split, the opening of the Atlantic Ocean, like that mid-oceanic ridge, like that happened, like in the split up of the continent known as Pangaea at the time, like caused all this volcanism. And it's only found in the west coast, like Scotland, like on the Isle of Skye. You've got an old volcanic centre that used to feed a volcano. Like you've got one on the Isle of Mull. Now when I say volcanic centre, I'm talking about a big massive magma chamber that's now at the surface because obviously erosion's taking place. It's eroded away all the rocks that used to sit on top of it. But you also find lavas from these volcanoes, and on the Iowa Adens, another one. It's just, yeah, there's so much you can talk about with regards to the geology of Scotland. It's mental. Like,
yeah, well,
honestly, Arun, I can, yeah.
you could probably spend a day on the rocks of Arun in itself, because that's
Arun's really wonderful, variable. Yeah. Like, I was recently on the radio talking about Carlin stones and, like, the Isla Craig. Like, Isla, I can never say it. Like, but that's, like, the only place, one of the only places in the world that they make Carlin stones from, like, the rock from that granitic intrusion, because it's a certain type of granite. And I was on the radio last week talking about that, and I'm like, I didn't even know that before I looked into it and stuff, and now I know it. So, you know, you learn something new every day.
Yeah. What blew my mind recently, I read this on the internet, so you can correct me, Louise, if this is wrong, but we're destined as a planet for the continents to reform into another Pangaea in billions of years' time. You know, we're sort of halfway through the journey of forming the mega continent and back again.
It's mental. I still don't, like, see when I watch videos of, like, what they've predicted the continents are going to do, depending on what tectonic settings, like, right now, like, are pushing away from each other. Like, it's honestly, it's mental to see what they think the continents are going to come together again as, like, and where we will sit. And did you know as well, like, that Africa is going to eventually, like, the Mediterranean Sea is going to close as Africa pushes up the way into the Alps, and then that'll just squeeze into us eventually, like in England and Scotland, and it's mental.
Maybe we'll be doing skiing in Istanbul in another million years. So there was
there'll be mountains in that there.
So there was a tectonic plate effectively under Scotland that presumably to have the volcanoes there.
We've just kind of moved away from it. It still sits in Iceland just now, though. So Iceland, like 65 million years ago, Scotland looked like Iceland just now with all the volcanism happening. That's what we went through. Now it's just, you know, extinct. We're no longer close to that boundary anymore, that it's no longer affecting us. So
have you been to New Zealand at all?
No, but I'd love to go there. Honestly,
it is in your destiny, I feel. Because my family's from New Zealand, so I have a lot of affinity for the country. But because the country is, to use one of your words, it's mental, because two halves of it sit on either sides of a plate and have sort of merged together over time. So you would absolutely love it, because it's very geologically young.
Yeah.
Massive amounts of thermal activity, and then, you know, literally mountains that have formed where the plates have rubbed up against each other. You would have an absolute field day there. You probably wouldn't come back, to be honest.
Wouldn't, but you know, you never know. Someone might sponsor me to go over there. I do get, like, certain, like for instance, the Geological Society of America have asked me to come through to their conference, and they're gonna, like, sponsor me to get there, basically, which is That's good. Because it means that, like, my flights are going to be covered, my accommodation is going to be covered, and I get to go see, you know, the Grand Canyon. Even though it's still 4 hours away from California, I'm getting to go over to their conferences in September to be a geo-influencer, because they get all the geo-influencers in America to come out, like, to go to it. So, and as well, like, you know, they're inviting me to come over, and I'm just like, oh, well, this is cool. There's like one called Groovy Geologist, who's based in America. There's Rockman Ethan, who talks about rocks, and he does these episodes, and it's like, what's inside that rock? And he's like, today's rock. And he just, honestly, it's so funny. Like, and then there's me in Scotland. There's another girl down south in England, like, called Geosassy. Like, she makes content to do with geology. And she works now for the Jurassic Coast, I'm sure. I don't know what she does she does it too, so. There is, like, more of us out there. And I think as well, people seeing me doing it, it's going to kind of push them into, like, making content about geology and about rocks, I guess, in a way. So, yeah.
And where's next to visit? And sort of posts coming soon. Have you got a plan, or?
I've got like a trip planned to go to the Iowa Sky, and I'm going to hit the Iowa Sky and make loads of mini documentaries and then combine them and hopefully make bigger videos. Like, I've been to the Iowa Sky like 5 times, so I know roughly where to go to get the good content. So that's my next trip. I don't really have anywhere planned abroad. Oh, no, tell a lie, sorry. I'm going to Germany next month to do a talk for their like geological society thing. So they're going to take me on a field trip to go look at German rocks. Like, so that's fun. But I've not got a holiday planned or that. Like, no, not really soon. Like, not going anywhere in particular. I'd like to go to Tenerife just to talk about the rocks there.
More volcanoes.
Yeah.
More volcanoes.
Maybe Cornwall and Jurassic Coast and down south in England. I want to span more down there. And I also want to start talking about geotechnical stuff. Yeah. So, like, go out to site and actually talk about why we do what we do and what we do, because people are interested in what I do for a living. So they've asked that some of my followers have been like, what do you do? And I'm like, I do this.
I've often thought about trying to post stuff about the ground engineering techniques.
Yeah.
But it's tricky because I think a lot of sites are quite reluctant to let record. Understandably, you know, that they don't want to.
That's another reason why I've not really done it.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to then make a video and then in the background there's some issues against like health and safety, or they've not got it set up properly. Like, I mean, they should have it set up properly, you know what I mean? But there is that, So I think that's why I've not really done it yet. And I've not really, to be honest, asked like the question if I could do it. Like, I spoke briefly about it like last year, saying, oh yeah, I want to promote like geotech, this, that, next time. But it's, my life's been so busy, and we've been quite busy too, so it's hard to fit everything in.
Definitely. Well, remind us where we can find you. What are the
apps? It's Scottish Geologist on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. The only one that differs is Twitter or X now. Scott Geologist, because you don't, I didn't have enough characters. They don't let you have 15 or more characters, so like, or whatever it was, like, so I couldn't use the name Scottish Geologist. I had to use Scott Geologist. And then I do have a website set up, which is www.scottishgeologist.co.uk, which has more information on it, like, and has now started advertising my wee geology tours that I'm going to do every now and then and start offering to the general public just to teach them about geology and tell them the basics, because people, there's an interest there for it, for sure. People love it.
Yeah.
They're like, brilliant. Oh, rocks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it, really, yeah.
Yeah, well, you're definitely brilliant. Scratching a itch for a lot of people. It's been really fun meeting you. Thank you so much. And
thank you for having me.
I'll see you on the gram.
Love it. thank you again.
All right, take care.
Hi again, I'm Ifeanya from GeoFem, and if you like breaking ground, chances are you'll also enjoy my vlog, IM News, bringing you the very latest in infrastructure asset management with a geotechnical focus. Visit geofem.com to tune in.